John chapter 5 from verse 1. I want to do a short teaching which I've called Ignite. Ah, Jesus. John chapter 5 from verse 1. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches, meaning having five places you can enter from. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. So as it were, they were waiting for an ignition. They were waiting for something to be ignited there. And the Bible says in verse 4, it says, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. It went and ignited the water. And whosoever then first after the trouble of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. I want you to take note that it was the water that was being troubled. And the result was that it produced a supernatural response in terms of healing. Whoever was sick and whatever disease the person had, if they stepped into that ignited water. Are you with me? So, they were living in a dispensation where they had to wait for an ignition. They had to wait. They couldn't of their own stir up something like that. Are you with me? They didn't have the power to stir up anything supernatural of their own. They just had to wait. Are you with me? They just had to wait. And like this man, he had waited for 38 years. Because by the time the water is troubled, everybody was, and before he will, nobody was there to push him. So before he will push himself, people have, you can imagine they were all staying by the pool. Imagine you were there. Just so many sick people there just waiting. Immediately, the angel thought, somebody will just stay by the edge. As the angel is coming, you'll fall inside. Imagine you are living in that dispensation where there was a pool. God ordained, imagine God ordained a pool in every state. That you know what? In every state, he just puts a pool of water at the middle of the state. So imagine the middle of Port Harcourt, there was a pool there. And whatever disease you had, just go there. Wait, even if it's 3 months it takes, people are waiting there. Don't you think people will build houses around that place? Are you with me? Don't you think people will buy land around that place? Ah, yeah. Follow me. If you get what I'm going to teach today, see, you have gotten the first key into the supernatural realm. I'm telling you. Don't you think people will build houses around that pool? And development will be coming out. Everything will come because there is a pool there. They will put accommodation. Okay, even if you're waiting for a drop of the water and you don't have a place to sleep, stay here. Are you with me? People will start selling food around that place. I know you're waiting for the moving of the water, but you can buy food and and be eating. And once that thing is troubled, fall inside. And in every state, imagine God did that in every state. If you had land around that place, you have made it. Waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Are you with me? And guess what? Then Jesus came. Let's read verse 5. Let's read to the end. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there a long time in that case, he said unto him, will thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, saying, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another stepped down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. People were waiting for the pool to be troubled, but the man carrying the river came. An ever-troubled river. You see, that's the portrait of what Jesus wanted us to be. He was showing us two dispensations in that verse. One time, in the history of man's existence, you are waiting for a pool, but now God wants us to be pool carriers. Are you with me? No wonder he tells you in this same John, John chapter 7, from verse 37, he says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, verse 38, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Glory! Now see verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So what's happening here? So you receive the Spirit. However, it is out of your belly that the river will flow. Let me explain. So now, even though the angel comes, or even though the Holy Ghost comes, you are the one that will determine whether the river will flow or not. Ignite. Even if that was not clear, look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6. It says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that stir up the gift of God. Tell your neighbor, stir up. I'm not hearing you talk. Tell your neighbor, stir up. Stir up the gift of God which is in thee, by the putting out of my hands. So what is that gift of God? Verse 7. It says, for God hath not given you the spirit of fear, but of power. Say after me, of power. That means the gift of God you received is a spirit. So that Holy Ghost you received is the gift of God there. He's telling you that you have to stir it up. Because listen, the Holy Ghost can be inside you and be sleeping if you don't stir it up. Oh, Pastor, how can you make that kind of statement? Well, Jesus was in the boat and there was a storm and he was sleeping inside the boat. If they did not go to wake him up, he wouldn't have died, but they would have drowned. Are you with me? Some people, the grace of God, they've never stirred this thing up. I have a sermon to preach. This is part of the sermon, but the Holy Ghost is not allowing me to leave this part. They've never stirred up. Have you seen oil that has caked? Ladies that cook, you know what I'm talking about. Oil that has caked. Some people, so when you want to shake it up, what do? You light fire. Then you begin to put it around it. After a while, you wake up. Say, where have I been? Or sometimes, as it's caked like that, they will heat it inside the pot. Use knife and cut it. Imagine using knife to cut oil because it has caked. Put it inside pot, then light fire and let it begin to boil. After a while, that oil will begin to shout. Hey! A time will come. You put that oil, put water, just sprinkle water on the oil like this. You will see outburst everywhere. And God is saying, it's time to ignite. Praise the Lord. You see, the Christian faith has a way it works. There is a mode by which the Christianity works. Because you've heard me say, Christianity is the life of Christ in men by the Spirit of God. Let me say that again. Christianity is the life of Christ in men by the Spirit of God. So after me, Christianity is the life of Christ in men by the Spirit of God. And you see, if it is the life of God in men by the Spirit of God, it means it will not work if you are not trained to participate with the Holy Ghost. Because it's the Holy Ghost that continues the life of God in us. It will not work if you don't participate with the Spirit. You know, most people, including Christians, they like things to be spontaneous without their involvement. To tell them, if you ask them, they like things like this. I don't know why it happened though. Ha! I was just standing like this. And Holy Ghost just came on me. And I started speaking. I don't know how it happened though. I didn't even pray for it. They think it is more supernatural when they don't do anything and it just happened. Whereas that's wrong. That means it's not supernatural. That means it's spiritism. Supernatural means there is the natural part and there is a super side. Are you with me? Supernatural meaning there is a part man must play. There is a part God must play. Are you with me? If you have no role in it, it's not supernatural. So God wants to bring water from the rock. He tells Moses, speak to the rock. He doesn't just come here and say, we don't know. We just came. Water just bust out. He all bust out like this. No, that's spiritism. Where you don't have any control. Say, the Holy Ghost opened my mouth. Blah, 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 blah. I couldn't control it. No. The Holy Ghost will fill you, but you must speak. You have a part to play. Tell your neighbor, you have a part to play. If you study 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you can summarize the whole 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in one word, control. Meaning, the Christian can control the move of the Spirit. So you can determine whether it will grow high or go low. And this is why we've called today's service Ignition. The subtitle is The Practice of the Spirit. Meaning there is a practice you can sustain. If you sustain this thing, the supernatural will become your second nature. I'm telling you. And some of you, God has been calling you to it. It's just that sometimes, God... Sometimes I wish people can see. There is something happening right now. Even in this church, something is happening. Now that the cloud of the Spirit is moving, I was told yesterday that in Abuja Church, they couldn't even study the Bible too much. They started worshiping them, prayer. They started praying. Similar to what happened to us on Monday. Who was around on Monday? Oh, yeah. They prayed, people put chairs, sit on the floor.
You know, when it's reached that point, when you keep your chair aside, sit on the floor to pray, the Holy Ghost is calling you. Praise the Lord. Look at this verse, James chapter 4 from verse 8. It says, I want to show you a powerful secret here. James 4 verse 8. Please don't miss this. James 4 verse 8. Everybody read 1, 2, 3, go. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Hey, clean your hands here, sinners, and purify your hands here, double-minded. My emphasis is that first sentence. It says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. In every spiritual encounter, God will meet you halfway. Let me explain. So, God will come to you based on your response to him. So, God's expression in your life is based on how much you are responding to his call. So, if God is here and you are, who will I use the example? I'll use my wife. Oh, glory to God. So, babe, this is what you do for me. Be here. Every step I take a step towards me. Every step I take. So he's saying, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So she's drawing, God is drawing. Come again. Come again. Some people, they can begin to feel God's presence, but they have stopped here. Are you with me? And God is saying, draw nigh. Tell your neighbor, draw nigh. Come again. Come again. Let's stop here. Praise the Lord. So now, what am I trying to say? God will meet you halfway. Meaning, he will not do everything. He will not do everything for you. There is a part you will play. And as much as you are playing that part, God will be doing his own part. Are you with me? You are not the one that makes the engine work, but you are the one that starts the car. You are the one. Are you with me? You are not the one controlling the engine, but you are the one that starts the ignition. You are not the one controlling the cooling system. You are not the one controlling the hydraulic system. You are not the one making oil go from one place to another. But you are the one that starts that ignition. You are the one that starts it. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to thee. Some people, they are waiting for when an encounter will just hit them. God will hit. Oh my God. He will hit you with an encounter and wait for what you will do. He will wake you up by 3 a.m. and wait for what you will do. He will give you a dream and wait for what you will do. He will bring you to new breed and wait for what you will do. The worship will be going on like this. It will be staring you inside and wait for what you will do. Somebody said, the thing was just touching me, but it's like, must I move? I am the rock. I shall not be moved. Sometimes you are in service. You are seeing people pray. They are just praying. Rakata palata in daba. And you are like, why are you so serious? I will not shout too much. You are doing yourself. Because now, people are waiting for the moving of the water, whereas in this dispensation, the water to stay is inside of you. Oh my God. There is a way you can stay this thing. All your family members, they will begin to wait. Say, let him just be stayed.
Oh yeah.
I know what I'm saying. Let him just be stayed. When we started church in this vicinity, it still happens till now. I remember a certain lady, we are going to invite her to church. She told me, I'm not going to come to your church. I said, why? He said, I'm not going to come. He said, but I want to tell you there is God there. Okay, there is God there. Why are you not going to come? He said, I've been having encounters about that church. He said, the hand of God. So the encounters she had scared her. She was like, I can't count how many people in this vicinity have come and said they saw us in their dreams praying for them. One told me, he said, I know I've never stepped my feet into your church hall, but let me tell you, I don't know whether it is the angel of your commission. I have encounters. He came around, found the church account number. I was sowing his seed. Then he begged me. He said, please, if you do anything, don't take the church from here. He said, since the church came, the thing that used to press me in the night stopped pressing me. I was told, save on Sunday, that while we were having service, one strange looking woman came outside and was shouting, that tell this pastor, he's disturbing us. I am the princess of the society, of the environment. But the Bible says, wherever the sole of your feet shall tread upon. He has given you, you are not any princess. Tell her, I said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning. I remember a particular time, we were here praying in the night. And, this is a funny story, please don't laugh too much. There was a young man around this area. He carried a girl, prostitute, to sleep with. I don't know whether it's prostitute or what, or he said it's his girlfriend. Carried her in the night. Around 11, when they wanted to do the work, she started manifesting one demonic spirit. Started turning like a snake inside his house.
That's when you now remember that there's a firebrand church around. And carried her like that. Carried her and brought her to this compound. Ah, God. That time I used to stay in church compound. If not, the demon for kill him. And on the floor, she was manifesting. Then I came. I've not even said anything. The demon there said, "You want to come and drive us, Abi?" When I was there, I think, who else was there in that? I was around that day. Pastor Faith, he said, "You want to come and drive us? We will not leave out." I said, "You already know me, so just go. Let's not shout. Let's not talk too much. Just be going. Tell neighbor, ignite." By the time she was free, she just slept like, and they carried her. My man, I said, "You are carrying her back to your house, Abi." Let's see if that mission will work. May God have mercy on you. Praise the Lord. So, I can summarize all I'm trying to say with one word: intentionality. The practice of the Spirit refers, you can write this down, please. The practice of the Spirit refers to the things you intentionally do to increase the influence of the Spirit in your life. Let me say it again. Jesus. The practice of the Spirit refers to the things you intentionally do to increase the influence of the Spirit in your life. The practice of the Spirit refers to the things you intentionally do to increase the influence of the Spirit in your life. The practice of the Spirit refers to the things you intentionally do to increase the influence of the Spirit in your life. Amen. Practice number one. We've talked about it before in this series. Meditating on the Word of God. If you will have a supernatural life, you must meditate on the Word of God. We've talked about that, I think, 2 Thursdays ago. People of the world. But let me read one verse of the Bible. In verse Jeremiah chapter 20 from verse 9. So Jeremiah was getting discouraged in his spiritual journey with God. He was getting discouraged. He was tired. And many of you have been there before, where he was just weary and everything. And he told himself, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak anymore in his name." Everybody continue. "But his word, I cannot feel you. 1, 2, 3, go. As a burning fire shot up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay." Come, are we in this meeting? Are this much people here? Everybody read this verse. 1, 2, 3, go. "But his word was in my heart. As a burning fire shot up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay." So he was weary because he could not hold that thing. Many of you, nothing is burning inside because there is no word inside. It's like wood. Somebody said, "What's the relationship between the word of God and prayer?" I was thinking of how to explain it to him. So I said, imagine putting an empty kettle on fire. The kettle is getting hot, but because there is no water inside, it cannot produce anything that is useful. That's what happens when you are a man of prayer, not a man of the word. Did you hear what I said? And the person was like, "Yeah, it's true." That's why there are many prayer warriors who are not powerful. What I just said now, there are many prayer houses that they have missed God, though, but they are praying. Because the revelation of God's word is not strong. It's not strong. So they are trying to engage the spirit realm, but because God's word is not strong in their midst, it cannot result in the fire of the Holy Ghost. The real move of the spirit cannot break out from there. So once in a while, somebody may just shout, "Yeah, yeah, yes, Sammy, I see. I'm prophesying false prophecy. Funny enough, they may encounter a spirit, but not the Holy Spirit. Ah, Jesus. I know what I'm saying. I knew it firsthand. 2008, I was at a retreat and with many young people. I mean, 2008, though. I didn't say 2018. 2008. And we're praying. And there was a move of God. I mean, so strong that people started seeing angels. People started seeing angels and were screaming and shouting. After a while, I began to sense the Lord tell me, "Start praying that this thing is not corrupted." It was not up to a few seconds. Within 5 to 6 minutes, people started seeing other things with horns. So it now looked like some other people wanted to see things because are they the only ones that are seeing? Let's see too. And they started seeing. Started seeing creatures, all kinds of things. After a while, people started acting funny, acting strange. Then the pastor that was leading looked at us, called me. I was on the keyboard. They called me. Said, "David, something is wrong. Something is wrong." So we're now thinking of how do we stop? How do we now separate the real move? Let me ask you something. Who remembers that time? There was a time we were having a service here. There was one man that used to stay here. You remember? And I would be shouting.
You remember? Sati, sati. This is why, before God says start a ministry, God will pass you through some process. So we're there, and those kind of those funny demonstrations, so we could see the real run from God, and the one that spiritism was doing. So I was like, what are we going to do? Then he told me he would do a prayer now. He said, in the name of Jesus, every voice of darkness will silence you now. Immediately he did that, all those people just fell on the floor. The demons checked out. The demons that were inside them, that the power of God was activated, just checked out. He just fell. You must be grounded in the word. Did you hear what I said? And after you are grounded in the word, the second thing is to put your mind intentionally on the things of the spirit. Put your mind intentionally. People, let me say this one. There are too many people who are too worldly to function in the spirit. It's not like they don't have the word of God in them, but the word of God is in their spirits, but their mind is too worldly. Too worldly. How do I explain this now? I'm looking for a way to explain this thing. Okay, I'll give you an idea. Have you seen people who they study their Bible, but their mind is so soaked up in seasonal movies than the word of God? They hear the word though, but when it comes to worldly things, they are so excited about it. They don't even know when they start seeing those things in their dreams. And make I talk. You think relationship, think relationship, so God wants to show you something. God wants to know about the brother before you know, you're asking God, is he the one? Is he the one? God cannot freely flow with you the way he wants to flow with you. A time now, Jesus, I remember so many things. There was a time, most of the brothers I knew, spiritual guys those days, all the sisters they were mentoring, I'll say, brother, how do you want to marry all these 5 girls? Today you come, pastor, it's like, is this one? You are mentoring the sister, you want to marry this one. After a while, you don't know when you now want to marry 8 of them. Because even though he's a man of God, his mind. So I've given you a negative example. Let me give you a spiritual example. See, there is a way you can condition your mind on the things of the spirit. A time now comes, God now begins to operate to you the same way you are operating with a human being physically. Let me explain. Let me give you a story. Papa Kumuyi gave a story that many years ago, listen to what I want to say, why it's important to fix your mind on the things of the spirit intentionally. Now, many years ago, he was asking God that he wants to operate in the healing anointing. He wants to operate in healing to get people healed. Are you following what I'm saying? And so, it seemed like God was not answering his prayer. He was not seeing people giving testimonies of healings and all that. So, he took a book by T.L. Osborne on how to heal the sick. I have that book. And he said he read the book again and again and again and again till the book tore into pieces. Then he dropped it. Then he took a message by Maurice Cerullo. Those are old names, healing revivalist and all of that. He took a message by Maurice Cerullo and was listening to the message again and again and again and again. He listened to the message for weeks. And one day, he was having a service. And while the service was going on, he said, let us pray. He said he did not know when he opened his mouth and said, you spirit of infirmity, leave her alone. Leave her now. Leave her now. And now, he said he was not even seeing anything. Listen, it's not like he was having a vision. Are you following me? He just said, he found himself saying, you spirit of infirmity, leave her alone. Leave her now. And it was the lady that was going through that infirmity that saw a black spirit came out of her and stood by the door of the church. And then, he was still preaching and said, don't stay there. Don't stay there. Leave this place and never return. Do you know that the service went on? He forgot. It was after the service the person came and said, do you remember when you said this? He couldn't remember. But he had said something. Then she was able to remind him. He said, okay, yes. I know I said something like that. Said, I was the one. A black thing came out. By the time you were saying leave, it stood by the door. The spirit. He now remembered that it was the same season he had listened to this thing so much. Let me tell you something. The things you feed your mind affect your spirit. The things you feed your mind, it affects your spirit in a strange way. Have you not listened to songs before? And one day, after some weeks, you're on your own and the song just came back. Hey, say, don't worry. I'm just vibing to it. I just like doing tum, 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 tum. I like the beat. No problem. You are feeding your flesh. You keep watching things that distract your mind. You keep watching all kinds of things, all kinds of funny things. Then the day you are in the spirit on the Lord's day, trying to ascend into the heavens, Satan will just bring that picture. One major challenge that the devil has used to pin down generation is called worldliness. Worldliness. Praise the Lord. I don't want to press too much and find trouble. But that's the truth. Worldliness. Let me tell you something. There is something called... Have you ever imagined yourself seeing Jesus? Have you ever asked yourself, why is God called holy? Most people think God is called holy because he doesn't commit sin. But holy means separate. That's the real meaning of holiness. Meaning, something is so unique, it has to stand on its own. There is a way you will so press into God and touch the holiness of God that when you come out and see some things, you are like, this thing is too mundane. I and my wife went for a wedding last week, Saturday. There was a way the chief, bridesmaid now? No. There's one name they call those girls. No. Bridal train. Thank you. Or bridal moto. The way they were dressing. See, it's not because we are too holy as it were. There is a place you will come out from. That thing is too mundane. Are you with me? It's too mundane. I was not the one complaining. I just found a way to remove my eye and keep following the old rugged way to the cross. My wife just tapped me and said, what is this? You know, she was the one that was angry. She said, but what is this now? I could feel the anger from her. What is this? Every 2 seconds, you are dragging the cloth up. Every 2 seconds. It's as if the whole cloth is falling down. Every 2 seconds, you are dragging the cloth up. I was like, what is this? I didn't answer. I just kept on looking at the cross. I didn't answer. Praise the Lord. Finally, after putting your mind on the things of the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled. And that's where we're going to end tonight. Ephesians 5 verse 18. It says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual songs. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Are you with me? So you need to create times like what we're trying to do before the teaching. Left for me, we would have just continued. Where you just stay, you soak. Jesus. You stay there, you keep singing, you keep praying. Are you with me? I want to ask you, have you not worshipped to the point where you felt like a burden was lifted off you? Let me tell you, usually that is the first layer of worldliness taken away. By the time you begin to press in more, you're not just feeling lighter now, you begin to receive new wine. After a while, you come out and you don't even know that you are shining. You don't know. I remember a particular day. I will end with this one and we'll just pray. See, one of the things that will activate this thing is you must be desirous of it. You want to know God. Some of you are dampening that hunger. You can feel God calling you. You can feel yourself hungry for something. You cannot really explain. You are hungry, but you are just allowing yourself starve. Dear sister in church was telling me that on Sunday as she was praying, she felt like something was tied up inside her that wants to come out. Let me tell you, some of you need to worship till you cry. Let something break. I was fasting and praying one time in this state, in this Port Harcourt city. I prayed that, you know, that kind of prayer that you're not praying for money, you're not asking for anything, you're just saying, God, I want to know you. Lord, I want to drink. I want to just go deeper with you. Are you following me? And I was fasting. I did not know when I did 2 days stretch. I had not eaten. On the second day, I was passing the room. I've shared this story before. And I passed some guys talking to somebody and I went my way. Then one of the guys ran to me and said, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And like, for what? He said, those guys wanted to rob me. They had already started collecting my phone, collecting my wallet. But as you passed me, something came out of you. And they said, take. I felt it from you. Did you hear what I said? He said, a hot wind, hot, came out from you and said, what are we doing? Go, in fact, leave this place. Go. They gave him his phone back. Gave him. Now, I was not trying to do something supernatural. It was, something was flowing out. Guess what? At that point, if I was feeling like, Lord, I'm still hungry for you. I was walking on the road and said, Lord, feel me. Lord, feel me. But already there was something overflowing. Jump on your feet. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Are you thirsty? Don't allow your spiritual thirst die. Like this season where God, the Holy Ghost, is knocking on the door of our hearts. Don't let it die. This season where the Holy Ghost is knocking, telling you there is more. It's time for more. It's time to drink. It's time to ignite something new. Can you lift up your voice and begin to pray? Lift up your voice right now.